Crazy Spirituality Center presents Muffin Talk with Beate. Kia ora and welcome to our Muffin Talk. Muffin Talk is brought to you by the Mercy Spirituality Center in Epsom. We're a center for retreats, spiritual guidance, Christian meditation and personal development. Once a week, I invite a visitor to join me in the studio to talk about our center, our programs, social justice or the Catholic Church. Today, my visitor is Sister Kathleen Rushton. Sister Kathleen, a warm welcome and haere mai to our radio program.
Kia ora koutou katoa.
Dr. Kathleen Rushton is a Sister of Mercy from Christchurch, and she has studied theology in Belgium and completed her doctorate in Brisbane under Dr. Elaine Wainwright. For Sister Kathleen, scripture has been a long, lifelong pursuit, and she has a particular interest in social and ecological justice and in making good biblical scholarship accessible. Sister Kathleen, I understand you have a real passion for the scripture and you're also a Sister of Mercy. Is there a connection?
Oh, I think there's definitely a connection. Catherine McCauley, our foundress, right throughout the records we have of her writings and her oral instructions that early sisters recorded, very scripturally based. It's very interesting. There is a wonderful volume of women interpreters of scriptures that go right back to the earliest times, and Catherine is listed in that volume, and she's also listed a lovely article by a Sister of Mercy, Elizabeth Davis, in Women Bible Interpreters of the 19th century. So I feel that Catherine would support people like myself that have been privileged, because we're Sisters of Mercy, to study scripture. So I think there's an interconnection. And Catherine, as well as providing for the material needs, also was very concerned about people's spiritual needs, and scripture ties both our spiritual and ordinary needs, human needs, together.
I think that she also read the Bible even long before she started the Sisters of Mercy.
Certainly, she, with her father, was a very person of great charity and love. She was companion to a woman who had a Quaker background, and she also had wonderful Catholic priests who were her spiritual guides, and she quotes a lot of their work.
Mm-hmm. And you've been working in the field of scripture for many years.
Well, you mentioned a lifelong pursuit. I was a boarder in a Mercy College in Timaru. It was then Sacred Heart Girls College. And we had YCS, Young Christian Student Movement. And for a number of years, we met weekly with the Sea Judge Act of Scripture. So that was ingrained into my life. In midlife, I went off. I was always going to learn Greek and Hebrew in my retirement. But in midlife, I was blessed to go and study, and went on, and, as you mentioned, did a doctorate in scripture, to resource the local area, because lots of people can go to places like Auckland, where there are theology colleges, and to Dunedin, but in Christchurch. So to make good biblical scholarship accessible to people has been quite a passion of mine in my work. I prefer to work with groups like that, and in my writing, like I do a monthly scripture in Tui Motu, and putting a lot of energy at the moment into the possibility of a book that looks at scripture accessibly.
So that everybody can read it and understand some of the context behind.
Yes.
And so within these many years that you've been involved ever from youth, did you see any change of approach towards certain topics in this time?
I think the See Judge Act always involved me in issues of social justice. We're all people of our times. So in the early days of, the anti-apartheid movement, the Treaty of Te Tiriti of Waitangi, my place as Pākehā in this country, scripture informed that. I've had a lifelong commitment of working with wonderful people in Catholic Commissions for Justice, Peace and Development, ecumenically with the CWS. And
CWS is the Christian World
Service. Then when I went to study, I was away for a number of years, but I do see my study of scripture in continuity with my more activist, I suppose, social justice, because if anybody was on about social and ecological justice, Jesus was, as the Hebrew Bible is, as the prophets are.
And also there was there a shift that there was more focus on women for a while?
Yes, in the times of doing my doctorate, but I didn't particularly want to do a woman. I wanted to do something that looked at the wider Christian tradition. And I actually did my doctoral work on the woman of childbirth, the little parable in John 16:21, that it is an image for the death resurrection of Jesus. So it's actually part of that. But studying women in scripture is really important because we come with all sorts of 21st, 20th and 19th century approaches to scripture. And we come, we don't realise when, say, Mary or Martha invites Jesus into her home. A first century woman, home was her domain. So little things like that are really important.
So to draw the attention to the context and also the historic context.
Yes, really, and the cultural background, and to make sure words are translated, like the women in Luke 8:3, is it? They cared for Jesus or they provided for him. The word is the same word when the angels ministered to Jesus in, say, Mark's gospel, when Jesus comes to minister. The same word is used of women. It's used of Mary, of Martha, rather, in the Martha and Mary story. And I assure you, it's not about making cups of tea or the equivalent. And also looking at the poor in the Gospels, putting them in context is quite striking and very challenging to us today. You know, in John 9, say, we talk about the blind man. Okay, he's blind and he's a man, but he's a beggar.
So it makes him marginalised.
He's marginalised. You know, he's a real outsider.
Yeah,
and we sort of sometimes put pious layers that take out the radicalness of it.
For those of you who have just tuned in, you're listening to Muffin Talk with Beate. This program is brought to you by the Mercy Spirituality Centre in Ipsum. If you miss any of our programs, please check out www.planetaudio.org.nz/Muffin Talk or visit our website or Facebook page at Tengākau Waiora, Mercy Spirituality. My visitor today is Sister Kathleen Rushton from Christchurch. And Sister Kathleen Rushton will give a presentation, a workshop at our Mercy Spirituality Center on the 18th and the 19th of May. And her topic is Everything is Interconnected, Completing the Works of God. Without saying too much, Sister Kathleen, what do you mean with completing the works of God?
Beata, earlier you mentioned about the shifts in biblical interpretation, biblical understanding, social justice, women, the poor, and the and a shift that is happening, I think it's more challenging and greater than any of those previous ones, is the whole ecological, environmental one, understanding the cosmology, the scientific world. And in my understanding, completing the works of God is a phrase that is particular to John's Gospel. John's Gospel begins, as you know, with the in the beginning, with it evokes the creation story of Genesis, God working, you know, and it evokes also, in the beginning, evokes all sorts of things in Greek philosophy and Greek cosmology that we miss. And Jesus, the prologue, inserts Jesus who became flesh, and the word sarx puts flesh is a term when all the animals went in two by two, every living creature, every flesh. So it, Jesus, by becoming flesh, is part of the created world.
And it says in the beginning. It doesn't say in the beginning of this and this.
No.
So that's where you come from, in the beginning, and then you have the creation story, the beginning of everything.
Yes, and in John's Gospel, actually, it does refer, in the beginning, actually refers to before the coming of the human, you know? It's and into that, the prologue inserts Jesus made flesh into the creation story, into the human story, into the biblical story. And Jesus comes, there's a phrase, I think the first one is in 4:35, Jesus talks about coming to complete the works of God. And that phrase is used five times. The last words of Jesus and John on the cross is translated, it is finished, it is complete, it is accomplished. It's that same verb. Jesus, by dying, finishes the work, completes the work of God. He hands over the Spirit. The verb is hands over the Spirit to the woman and the beloved disciple. The beloved disciple isn't named. We're all to be that beloved disciple to carry out the works of God. So the death of Jesus isn't a death, really. It's a handing over of the Spirit.
Does that mean that Jesus finished his part and now it's up to us to continue?
I think you're right, very much right, because certainly in John's Gospel, the works of God continue in two ways, through the Holy Spirit. When Jesus appears to the disciples, he breathes on them. And the word breathes on is only used there in the whole of the New Testament. And when it's used in the Old Testament, it's about creation. And it's used of God creating. So he breathes on the disciples, receive the Holy Spirit. They are to continue the works of God. And, of course, the works of God continue through Jesus' friends. Jesus never calls the followers in John's Gospel disciples. They're friends. Quite significant. So in completing, there's something about work in John's Gospel. The verb to work, or the noun, it's either 14 or 17 times in John's Gospel, whereas in the Synoptic Gospels, it's in one of them it's once, and one of them three times, another five. So John's got something about this work, working, completing the works of God. Now, we are to complete the works of God by what we do. So our work, whether we work in whether we're a teacher, an office worker, whether we build the roads, whatever we do, we are continuing the ongoing creation. And when we care for creation, and when we don't use plastics and all these things, we are completing the works of God, and we are caring for the beauty of the earth. And you see, the death resurrection of Jesus, I always hyphenate it, because everywhere in Scripture it's together. And we complete, you know, just when we sometimes think of the resurrection and being up there, you know, something magical happens in the sky. It doesn't. We take part in the death and resurrection of Jesus by walking through our own death and resurrection, through the valley. Richard Rohr talks about walking through the valley of death and the valley of and resurrection. And resurrection happens in the spring and the, you know, the beauty of the world, the beauty of nature.
It reminds me a little bit of when Maori say, we are thinking of those who've gone before us.
Yes.
Because Jesus came before us, mm. and so he asked the believers to continue.
Yes, and I mean, it's the risen Jesus we meet. But resurrection doesn't happen all the time. And we walk through the valley of darkness with either ourselves some of the time or when other people are in a bad way. So that's the death resurrection, our completing the works of God. So I think there's something very special there.
And you're focusing, is that only in John? Because you're focusing on John. Is that with the other evangelists?
Well, I don't see, I know John better than I know the other Gospels. But I don't see, even that word, the parts of the word work, whether it's the verb or the noun, the fact that it's about 17 times in John and one or two times or five in the other, there's something going on.
It's working.
Yeah. And, you know, we've got the prologue. And I think, you know, in another life I was a secondary English teacher and used to do a lot of plays and plays often have a prologue. And in the prologue is a summary of the story. Not only a summary, it's usually about something that happens in another time and another place. And the prologue tells us about God and what went on in another, you know.
The prologue gives the context in which it is written isn't it?
And also the seeds of the story that will be developed are in the rest of the gospel.
I think that I understand, prologue is something that gives you an explanation that if you don't have it, you might misunderstand the whole story.
You'll miss the story. Yeah. Yes, absolutely right. And often we don't pay attention to the prologue and read the rest of the gospel through the framework of the prologue. And so that whole thing. And you see, the other thing I have discovered is ancient cosmologies were about a kind of view of the world and an appreciation of the world. The whole idea that cosmology was about a link with the people that led to a wisdom and led to an ethical action. And a thing we call eschatology, some people talk about the four,
eschatology,
death, hell, judgment, or some four things. That's a much later theological development. But biblical Old Testament eschatology is about hope, for promises of hope for a new future in this world, because the Hebrew people and the people at the time of Jesus, it was centred on this world. They didn't have this next world thing that we've got. You know, we hang on for this world because we've got heaven. Well, okay, that's true, but the value was that there would be just relationships, that creation would be renewed, that people, there would be just systems, there'd be no wars, there would be right relationships between people in this world. And that was these hopes for the future. And the prophets talk about it. Jesus talks about it.
A Jewish friend of mine said that she couldn't believe in Jesus because the Messiah was going to bring peace, and there's no peace in the world, so he can't be the Messiah.
Because we've got to complete the work. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
And you see, I think that's the wonderful thing, isn't it?
That's how when you put the Bible or the scriptures in the context,
yes,
that's how you make it accessible for people who haven't studied. And for
yes.
example, you said that you studied Greek and Hebrew,
yeah,
so you would understand the words from a different context again. And so when you say one of your goals is to make the scripture accessible for everyone, and I think that's a huge goal.
Yeah, and it is to try, isn't it? Because as we know, Māori words, aroha,
yeah,
we say love, but it's much more than that. You know,
in Greek, you also have different words.
Different words and different nuances.
Yeah.
I've got a favourite quotation from Thérèse of Lisieux. Most people don't know, the book I was given when I first went to study Greek has a quotation from her. If I had been a priest, I would have learned Hebrew and Greek so that better I could tell God's people about the way God chose to talk to people in human language. They didn't tell us that about Thérèse, but that's a very strong statement.
Yes, didn't live very long.
No.
She didn't have the time to learn Greek and Hebrew.
But she said that's, you know, that was her message to priests. So, yes, so that, and you see, I think the other thing, Beata, about scripture is in recent years I've started to teach, I always start with prayer, but I use the ancient method of prayer of Lectio Divina, where we start with sacred reading, we move to meditatio, meditation, we move to oratio, prayer, to contemplation, resting in God's presence, and to actio, action, and it all begins again. And my understanding, Sandra Snyders has a wonderful article on Lectio Divina, where she argues that it's at the meditatio stage we sometimes need more information so that we get to the challenge of what scripture's about in the culture. If we take seriously that the time of Jesus in early first century, the time when John was written, if it was written in Ephesus in 90, Ephesus was a hub for ancient slavery. You know, it was the big slave place where it was all... So it was a very unjust world. And, you know, we've got modern slavery today. So what's the connection when we read scripture? And most of the services and clothes and things we've got have been made by unfair labour, sometimes slave labour. Mm-hmm. So there are those sort of links that sometimes we need at that meditatio stage so we can pray. And in my understanding, the prayer of Lectio Divina, the word of God will change us as the priest consecrates the bread and wine into the body and blood of Christ. We move to contemplation. And the challenge is so great that before it, we could become depressed or despair. But it's God's work.
That's maybe why Pope Benedict always said there have to be times within Mass where there's absolute silence.
Absolutely.
Where you can just listen to maybe the words that are not spoken, but to reflect and to meditate, into that status with what you were mentioning.
And to allow and to be aware of God who is aware of us, you know. And then that moves to action. And I understand action as being the works of God, completing the work, our place in the works of God. And it's, I don't even regard it as a cycle, I can't regard it as a spiral, because the spiral gets bigger each time.
Well, the word works and action, it's related.
Yes.
And work and to act.
Yeah, and I think sometimes we can regard work as drudgery, and I think for some people it probably is. Not everybody is as privileged as I am to work at scripture and to get a lot of energy out of that, you know. But I think, and that's why just labour laws and all those sorts of things are so important, because it is people doing their little bit to complete the works of God.
And many people work a lot in the church outside of their normal work time.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, that it's in our conversation earlier, you said about go, the Mass has ended.
Yes.
We're to go out.
That's part of our commitment.
Commitment, because our work is as important as our prayer. In my study of Lectio Divina, the early Benedictines regarded it as giving a rhythm to our lives, and that the Christian life is an oscillation of moving backwards and forwards between contemplation and prayer. And scripture fits into all that, in my view. Yeah.
Thank you very much, Sister Kathleen. And I'm looking forward to your presentation and the workshop, which we will have on the 18th and 19th of May. So it starts at 18th in the evening, and then that's a Friday, and then we'll have the Saturday. Thank you very much. I'm looking forward to hearing more from you. And what else is coming up in our Spirituality Center? Well, tomorrow on Saturday, the 28th of April, we'll have a retreat day with Fran Francis and Chris Telfer. The title is Air, Water, Fire, Stone, an elemental retreat inspired by John Donohoe's book, The Four Elements, Reflections on Nature. And on Wednesday, the 2nd of May, from 10 o'clock to noon, we have the second part of our Cultural Diversity series. This time, we will hear from Rachel Maher about the New Zealand Sign Language. Join us and learn about basic facts and skills on how to connect in a positive and joyful way with people who are unable to communicate by spoken languages. And on the 10th of May, we will start our Trinity series presented by Helen Bergen. And the second and third parts will be the 17th and the 24th of May. So, and on the 18th and 19th of May, Sister Kathleen Rushton will come to our Mercy Spirituality Center with the topic, Everything is Interconnected, Completing the Works of God. And for all our events at the center, please register with us per phone at Auckland 09-638-6238 or via our website at mercyspiritualitycenter.org.nz. And I wish you all a blessed Friday and a good week ahead. And thank you so much, Sister Kathleen, for having come to the studio here.
Thank you, Beata.